Yo, so I was on Reddit last night, right?
Reddit?
Yeah, I was on Reddit.
And you just go on Reddit?
I do go on Reddit. Yeah, Reddit's really good. You get a lot of good answers on Reddit.
But, like real answers?
I really think it is. I don't know what it is about Reddit in particular, but I feel like everyone really just wants to be right about what they're saying, that like they'll give you really hard proof about their words and opinions, unlike any other platform.
Okay.
Anyways, or there's trolls. Who knows? But there's trolls anywhere. But just on the standard subreddit that's just called cars, right?
Okay.
And they share a lot of car news, and I saw last night as I was falling asleep that Hyundai partnered up with Amazon.
Okay.
And what that means, I think it's like a couple parts thing right there, but
to sell cars?
Yeah, so you're gonna be able to buy a car on Amazon, and this is right now live on their
on their
website. This is like an actual thing where you can see pricing portals and you can customize your or configure your car.
So Is the price just MSRP?
Yeah, I think so. Which is so funny because it's like you could look that up on their site too. Like you don't need to go to Amazon to see this stuff. But this is live on Amazon right now. This is called the Hyundai Evolve, something like that, or whatever.
Okay. So essentially we're assuming that it's gonna use MSRP, whatever the build price is, there is no discount, you're not dealing with the dealer.
Yep.
You're going to buy this car.
The way you want it.
And then you're just going to add it to the cart.
Yeah. So I when I was reading up a little bit on it, it was saying that I don't know if it's to start or whatever, but they're going to be doing it based on dealership's inventory. So you can kind of browse dealership's inventory. Makes sense. And then you can just say, okay, that's in stock. That's the configuration I wanted. It's there. I want it. And you could buy it.
Are they good at 2-day? Do they get a prime it to you?
Yeah, so you have to go to the dealership still and go pick it up.
Oh, you have to go pick it up.
Yeah.
Now, if you pay, my question is, if you pay for the car on Amazon,
yeah,
do you not really pay? Like, do you check out?
Yeah.
Put a deposit down, kind of thing, and accepts that, or do you pay for the whole? I mean, how could you pay for the whole car on your credit card?
I don't think you can.
Right.
I don't think most people can.
And then because basically what's got to happen is if you're going to a dealer. They probably still beat the crap out of you with the F&I guy.
Yeah.
As soon as you get there, right? Oh, like, well, yeah, you bought the car. Come in here. Let me just sell you all the crap you don't need.
But do you think that guy won't be there anymore or necessary in this online process? Do you think they do like an online credit report and then they just give you your rate?
I mean, I know that they could, but what I'm saying is like, oh, you're talking about like if you're not buying, you're financing it.
Yeah.
Or like you're leasing it.
Yeah, say something like that. Because I think if
can you get financing through Amazon website?
I wonder if they're going to implement that.
Can you do it now?
Well, when you go to the bottom of the page, when you're on that Amazon page, Max, at the bottom, there was a part that said check payments or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something. There's some kind of payment.
I foresee a future.
Estimate payments. But who knows if that means you're going to be able to finance it through them.
Right. I foresee a future where people are able to buy cars, homes. I mean, I know that they can now. That's not what I'm talking about. But I I'm talking about for a mass level type of thing, that people will be able to do cars, homes, boats, large purchases right through some level of marketplace. I mean, look, you have too many apps and too many different things where you can get your credit checked and you can do all that stuff. You could essentially have whatever score you need attached to some profile. Like at some point, do I think that if Amazon really does get to that level, that it's going to be one of those things where like you can have an enhanced buying option checked where you have to give them certain financials or different things or sign up for a service that basically pulls your credit score consistently. And you can essentially do all these things with Amazon as a checkout partner, and they'll be able to kind of put your pre-qualified type scoring. I think, yeah, of course I think that.
there's going to be a day where like when you fill out a general form to like, you know, renew your passport or something like that, and they're going to have all your basic critical information, and then they're going to ask for your Amazon ID or something because it's going to be a crucial part of your identity.
I mean, I think that's what Amazon's hoping for. But
I mean, that's some crazy stuff. Like,
here's, I just like, look, there is no doubt that retail establishments are going away.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that the wholesale model is eroding at a record pace. What I foresee is, and I see it all the time, I don't know if you feel this same observation, mm-hmm. is that around me, even further out east, and when you drive in on the expressway, there are just vacancies? What I'm talking about, enormous warehouse buildings that all look the same going up all over the place.
I guess I don't see that too much.
So I see it out by me. I mean, I drive much further on the expressway than you do, right?
Yeah.
But I can tell you 10 different locations in places that you wouldn't even think there should be a warehouse.
Yeah.
That now they've put up these, you know, few hundred thousand foot square feet warehouse buildings.
That's crazy.
And I see them in other places. And so I don't think it's just Amazon, though.
Yeah.
I believe that you're talking about the average company is essentially getting to a point where, let's say their model was, let's use Keurig coffee.
Okay.
Let's talk about just their pods, hypothetically. So maybe the model back 10 years ago was, you know, yep, we're Keurig, so we make all this stuff and we drop ship Bed Bath and Beyond,
yep.
a ton of this stuff, and they send it to their warehouses, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we sell it to the grocery stores and Costco's and whatever. Now I think they're really just saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to offer our own subscription service.
Yeah.
And with our own subscription service, we're going to have our own logistics buildings.
Yep.
And the cost now is going to change, but we're going to keep all the profit margin. So we're going to use the profit margin to essentially pay for this distribution model.
Yep.
And we're gonna but the difference is that the customer experience is that, one, they're on a subscription base, so it's a little bit more forecasted, so you know when you're getting your coffee, and the company knows when they're supposed to ship it to you.
Now, do you think companies like that, they do the actual logistics, or they do a third party logistics company?
Well, I think that's going to be the differential split that you're going to see companies go through.
Because these distribution companies are popping up a lot, where they're saying, hey, we can manage all this crap and do it for multiple companies.
Yeah, and I think that there's a scope of size that will depend on that. Right?
Seems like a good business.
I think it can be. I think the question really comes, and I've seen this just, you know, kind of in the course of some of our projects when we may have to, you know, temporarily enroll a different 3PL in addition to our buildings to try to, you know, facilitate some sort of project we're working on, is that some of the 3PLs, they're still very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's fine if you were going to, like, you know, have a densely packed pallet. For example, you look at one pallet, we may be able to fit 40 wheels, okay? You look at a pallet of iPhones, right? You may be able to fit 1,000 phones.
Right.
I mean, that may be a gross exaggeration. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, you're probably not far off.
So what I'm saying is, when you get to that point where, you know, an iPhone has a lot more margin, a lot more, you know, I mean, and it takes up this much space. I mean, how does it not make sense to have a 3PL?
Yep.
Right? So I think that there's levels there, but I think it's interesting what Hyundai's doing, because I think that you're going to see many companies kind of do the same thing.
My brain goes to two different ways on that topic, and just like anyone else, I don't like going to a dealership, right? Like,
I hate it.
Right, no one likes that. No. But when I go to a dealership, I'm the type of guy where I go, hey, listen, like, well, because also I'm a car guy, I know exactly what I want. You know, I don't need to be told about the car and all this stuff, or, you know, I'm not giddy to test drive it. I'm like, I know this car is going to be good or whatever. Like, you know, like you just know.
Take it or leave it offer kind of thing.
Exactly. So now I'm kind of always the guy that's just like, listen, I have this. Go talk to your boss, do all that. I'm not going to sit here for 2-3 hours. Just call me. Here's my number. Call me at the end of the day if you want that, whatever. And I will do it for this price by the end of the day.
Yeah,
and I'll leave.
Right,
like that, I feel like that's always been the best way to play it. But now at least you don't have to do all that. If you're buying it online, you could just click on it. There's no negotiation, Carvana style. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the problem I have. I think that the obvious play, or the obvious perception that people may have, is, hey, if I don't have to go to the dealer and I can pay a price, a no negotiation price,
mm-hmm.
that's, look, let the car company, make more profit but charge me less money ultimately because you're taking out a step in the process.
Yep.
But ultimately, I get the car faster. I get what I want. I don't have to deal with the aggravation. And hopefully, I'm paying a little bit less money.
Yep. Well, actually, you know what? Carvana is not a good example, or CarMax or something like that, because actually, you know, they buy their cars used. So, right. You know, they have to go on the used market as opposed to the manufacturer that they set the MSRP. So,
yeah, but what I'm saying is there's two ways to look at that, yeah. Right? The first way is, like I just said, the second way is that, yeah, they're gonna be the only game in town.
Yeah.
If you know, like when you look at the price of a Tesla is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying expensive, cheap, like whatever it is, but you know, if their idea was, hey, we believe everybody wants a Tesla, so if all these people are gonna want Teslas, we're gonna charge, you know, top dollar, but no. There is no other place to get a discount, yep. Right? There's no other dealers. You can't go from dealer to dealer and beat people up. This is the price. Take it or leave it.
I think the prices of like the Model Y, I think. What's the smaller one?
Three.
The SUV, the smaller SUV.
Yeah, Y.
Right, Y. Okay, so I think the price on the Model Y from 2021 to now has dropped like $30,000.
Well, so Elon did that whole thing where he tried to bring the pricing down, you know, make the car more affordable. But the truth of the matter is it's still expensive because when you try to get that car,
mm-hmm.
If you look, there's a very take it or leave it. You know, first off, remember, they put those prices in and they're statistically done based off around how much you're getting back,
mm-hmm.
Right? Like all the rebates and fees, yeah, right? Yeah. So the price you see is not really what you're paying. You're paying more than that. And yeah. Also, they all want a pretty fairly high dollar amount for the down payment, right? So your down payment may be $5,500. A lot of people don't have $5,500.
Yep.
You know, so all I'm saying is like there is no better way. You can't shop dealers with that. You can't try to, you know, come up with a deal. If Elon sets a price and that's the price, that's the price.
You know, I think, and well, I had 2 points to the whole going into the dealership and having to buy it type of thing after you buy it online or whatever, or still go pick it up, I should say.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to just make it so they're going to end up hiring so many different services and products within the dealership that they're going to just, it's going to be upsell everywhere from when you get in there.
Oh, so, it's going to be a nightmare.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you walked in the door like, oh, I just bought this online on Amazon. And the person's going to be like, great, we have floor mats. We have this. We have ceramic coating. We have all this treatment stuff. We have this package for oil changes and everything like that. And you're probably going to get bombarded with a catalog of deals,
yeah.
And options.
Look, I mean, if I'm Hyundai in a major sense,
mm-hmm.
What I do is I pick... Yeah, I mean, and I know this gets very difficult because dealers are independently owned. A lot of them are franchises. You have employees, different things like that. I just feel, here's what I think. I think that on the whole, the amount of mechanics that are going to be at a dealership, whether you close 10 dealerships or you don't, I think to be able to service that many cars, you still need that number of techs, let's mm-hmm. say, hypothetically.
Yep.
So what we're talking about in a situation where I could see is that dealers will let's say Hyundai comes in and they say, hey, no more dealers, right? But those dealer locations, they pick the ones that are the most knowledgeable. They become almost fulfillment centers.
Yeah.
Where you can pick your car up, you can get your car serviced if you want, but they're mm-hmm. still there. Maybe they're a little bit more further away. But I also suspect
some more like showroom parts and services.
Right.
Right.
Right. Not, you don't do the buying there.
Yeah.
You do the fulfillment part there. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then Hyundai would pay those dealers, quote unquote, a fee per car, more of a delivery fee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But more so than that, I think that really what we're getting to is you're going to be able to buy that car. And, you know, if I'm them, I have somebody come to you. Right?
Yep.
Hey, we just want to confirm all the options that you picked in this car. You know, would you like us to drive the car over so you can see it before before we ink up or yeah. something to that effect?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you see the car, you make any things, they can do all your upsells there. And essentially one guy on an iPad is just going to basically take you through the checkbox list.
Yeah.
And then if you're all good, he delivers the car at your house in your driveway, whatever, and he's gone.
Yeah, that's more, like, crazy to think about, right?
But it's how could you not think that we're going? I mean, not saying you don't, yeah, but yeah. I'm saying like we're going there. It's yeah. gonna happen. Like, it's gonna happen.
Another train of thought of mine that really comes to my head is that. So
look at the big Amazon boxes.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's awesome.
This is right around the corner. I mean, this is live on Amazon right now.
Yeah.
But not like the actual buying process, but like the right. beginning section of it. So what does it mean for other people who own cars and want to sell cars? They can use Amazon as a platform now?
Or you mean like in a marketplace sense?
Yeah. Is it gonna be exclusive to Hyundai? They can't do that.
No, I don't think it's gonna be exclusive to Hyundai. I mean, I think you're gonna see other dealers like start to roll into stuff like this. I mean, I personally think that if they're smart, they're gonna end up using their own
what about individuals in the sense that manufacturers sell their products on Amazon, but other people also sell their other products on Amazon as well.
Yeah.
So like if I had a used Hyundai and I have a used car dealership,
yep.
can I all of a sudden start putting my stuff on to the website and sell there?
I mean, I personally think the answer to that is going to be yes, that mm-hmm. you're going to be able to buy other things on Amazon. I do think that there's a lot of technical details that have to be worked through. I mean, personally, I think that Amazon, if they're smart, and I know that they are, most likely what's going to end up happening is you're going to have this situation where, let's say I buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, it's going to be one of those things where you're going to be able to accessorize your car in cart. Has nothing to do with the car manufacturer, right? So let's say I go buy this Hyundai car. Like, I'm going to be able to go, all right, you know what, I want to get some wheels and tires. So I'm going to put that stuff in the car. And what's going to happen is Amazon's going to be the one that's going to be delivering that car.
That'd be crazy.
Right? And you're, but.
2 day prime.
Well, think about it like this.
Here comes your Santa Fe.
Yeah. Right now, if I want, I can add a whole bunch of things to my cart
mm-hmm.
from all these different vendors.
Yeah.
And I can, and it will tell me which dates they're coming by.
Yep.
I think this is going to be a realm of, logistics of, all right, so you're buying this car.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick any one of these options from vendors that or installers or whatever it is that are in this geographical area that allow us to deliver this car in 2 days' time.
Right.
And so it won't necessarily have to be the dealer, but if you want to have, a remote start put in a car that doesn't have a remote start. If you want to, you're going to be able to click on the thing and say, add the remote start. And essentially they're going to orchestrate all this and the car's just going to get driven to you, by an Amazon rep and he'll fly away.
Well, one more thing I think of is that, what's one thing that Amazon kind of has down to a science now is with returns, right?
Okay.
Like, are they going to have to run into any kind of problems with that with cars?
Well,
I don't
know if I can comment on that.
The color I saw is not really the red I thought it was going to be.
I mean,
I know
the public that we're working with, and I will say that I can't imagine that instance doesn't come up even in real car purchasing situations right now.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, I think but I think that there is that option, and that's why dealers, I think, are going to, or kind of, very the Elon Tesla route, right? Mm-hmm. Where, there's two cars in the showroom in the mall. And when you want to go see these cars, but I'll even say this, like you go to see a Tesla in person. I mean, luckily the cars pretty much only come in white.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
But no, but I mean like, but seriously,
they only have four colors, I think, right?
Or something like that. But I was just making it more of a joke, but like
still, yeah.
At some point you're going to go and there's going to be some sort of car center where, here's the model cars, right? So if they have five model cars, you see the five model cars and then, like on the wall is just going to basically be a bunch of car doors, like one car door painted in each color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're going to be able to go see the color or something.
That's a great idea. You got to sell that to them. They don't do that already.
I'm telling you, man.
That's a great idea.
For those that aren't paying attention to me, I'm something to be reckoned with here.
I mean, that just makes so much sense. I don't know. Someone had to think of that.
I mean, I didn't see it, but the truth is I would imagine, yes, somebody probably. I don't think that I'm that smart. That
or at least just side mirrors or something. I don't know.
Somebody's doing, you need something bigger than a side mirror, right?
I guess the idea of the color across.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe hoods instead of doors. I don't know.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is I think that obviously, but yeah, I mean, like, how could you think that we're not going there?
Yeah.
We're going there. Like, the wholesale model is going to collapse
mm-hmm.
on everything. And I'm not talking about wheels. We're not talking about car stuff. We're talking about everything.
Yeah, you know, and there's a second prong to this whole thing, okay. Which is, you know, it's the Hyundai partnership with Amazon, because now all their cars are going to be integrated with Alexa.
Okay.
So, like, this is like a point that I brought up, like, to you, like, months ago or something like that, and how I'm saying that, like, cars now are more, like, less, like...
less cars, more tech.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, less cars, more tech, and it's like, how do you feel about that? Like, the integration of Alexa, and now all cars come with either Google, Alexa...
Yes.
You know, some kind of smart something.
Yep. So, here's what I honestly feel, and this is my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard me talk about this stuff, and we've talked about, and I think if people randomly tune in, they may feel that I'm super negative about EVs.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Right.
Like, I actually like EVs, and I like the potential that EVs have, and I like the ability that I think EVs will eventually bring. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that you can do it on a fast push agenda that doesn't allow the infrastructure and it to not be there,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that we have other avenues to climb towards the same, you know, eco-friendly goals without, you know, compromising, you know,
yeah.
everything else. I think that when I get into a Tesla and I drive a Tesla, when I rent an EV and it feels like I'm driving a big iPad,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that, because my lifestyle has started to get to a point where I, you know,
where your life is a big iPad,
right? Like, like when I drive my car, if I'm going to make a phone call, you know, I use Siri a lot. If I'm going to send a message while I'm driving, mm-hmm. I use Siri. So, like, what I'm saying is that technologically advanced products, I think, are what people are going to expect.
Yeah.
I think that that's totally reasonable. My only problem from a car enthusiast standpoint is that I've said this so many times, is that's fine. If that's the model that things go to, and you're going to find, like, Porsche and some of the more enthusiast brands, they'll come up with a way to make those EVs exciting. Even, I mean, look, we know that EVs can be fast, super fast.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to find something that's going to put the enthusiasm back in enthusiast cars, and the brands will do that. That's what they know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
My problem has always been in this whole thing is just don't take away my cars. Give me a pathway to make sure that what I drive, what I own, can still stay along with this new emerging technologies, right?
Yeah.
And that's always been my biggest concern. Like, I don't want to get to a point where they make these rules and I have to, like, throw out my Z.
Yep.
Right? Like, because I want to keep my Z. And I hope...
Yeah, even stuff like backup cameras and
yeah.
all the safety feature stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, like that's going to make it seem like all the other cars now are quote unquote like unsafe or
right.
you know, not up to standard.
Right. So yeah, I mean, like, look, I think it's a super interesting thing, but seeing like Alexa integrated into a car, no, but, it makes sense.
Yeah, but what do you think about all Hyundais from now on being Alexa powered cars, not power, you know what I mean though?
But like, I know.
Like,
but what's, well, tell me the downside to it. Maybe I'm not.
Is it weird that they have like that, you know, the Amazon kind of has that kind of control over your car and they kind of have this huge ecosystem of thousands upon thousands of cars soon to be all under their kind of thing? I don't know.
I think it really has a lot to do with, you know, things that you've heard people talking about before, which has a lot to do with privacy issues and right. settings.
Well, that's more or less what I meant.
Yeah.
So they want you to be able to, you know, turn off your lights from your car inside your house, like, you know,
which is the part we love,
right? Which is, I think, the kind of creature comfort.
The question is, how much privacy do you have to give up to obtain those things?
They're probably going to make it that you can start ordering stuff straight from your car,
yep.
and you know, all that kind of stuff.
I think that probably exists now.
Yeah, probably. I think you can order on my Subaru. There was a Domino's app.
Like, I wonder, you think I can use Siri to order Chipotle?
Yeah.
I'm so hungry.
No, I don't think you can.
No.
No, I don't think you can.
All right, because I would like her to figure out how to do this for me.
Chipotle would need an automated app.
Mm. Well, look, I mean, do I think that's common? Yeah, I absolutely do. I don't have a problem. You know, people, I get the privacy concerns. I really do. My privacy concerns, and again, this is more me. There's so many different conspiracy nuances to this that may or may not be accurate to a point or not. I just don't know. But what I'm saying is, for the most part, I mean, like, you know, my personal life, if you really wanted to peer into it, I think that Amazon would be very bored. Right? There wouldn't be anything there for them to, like, really enroll into. But, you know, when you think about if you have a, if I have an Alexa in my office, well, there may be things that I say, you know, from a company standpoint that may be confidential.
Well, how about this? What about the combination of Alexa and GPS in your car? Like, in other words, maybe
well, but would you, I would argue that every single phone that anybody has ever had has location services right now.
Yeah, that's true.
So I don't know that it's really changed for me.
Well, I'm saying that you can see where you drive through on a daily basis, but I guess your phone does that too.
Your phone could do that.
Yeah.
Your GPS system in your cars right now, if you have a GPS system, it does that right now.
Yeah, but we'll say if you don't have Amazon working in the background on your phone, which a lot of people probably don't, unless you're quote-unquote using the app.
Okay.
Then in your car, I'm sure that's not going to be an option. It's probably always going to be working.
Well, but your phone, unless you turn location services on now, keeps a tab of where you are.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but like the integration of having an active GPS on your phone,
yep,
and having Amazon running in the background as an app on your phone as well, that might not be the, like, you might not have your Amazon app running in the background, so there's no, like, connection between the GPS and Amazon.
Maybe.
But with your car, there will always be some sort of connection.
Right. Well, the question is, do they have the ability to access all that?
Of course they do, right?
Well, the question, well, but, you know, there's, you know, the one thing that I think that, you know, regulation and control has gotten better on, or at least the appearance of being a better,
mm-hmm,
is the thought that you have to give people options to opt out.
Yeah.
Right? Now, whether they work or not is a whole other story. I personally think that for the most part, I think, you know, as we go forward with technology, you're going to have to look at it in a very interesting way. It's going to be, does this feature benefit me more than it hurts me, right? Because I think the idea that we can go forward with technology without having any risk, I think, is extremely false. But I think it's a question of how well are these risks limited,
mm-hmm,
to, and what's the real risk that we're talking about. I know it could be great. I'm just saying, like, when it's, you know, when these companies are held to the task of policing your data and stuff, what does that look like?
Yeah. Here's a side note thing that I just thought was interesting. It's not all that connected to this.
But Chipotle?
No, well, we're going to get Chipotle today, right?
I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
I literally can only think about Chipotle.
Well, think about this. All right. So think about all the cars that were made during, like, the early 2010s, like 2010 to 18, basically.
Okay.
And that was like the kind of beginning fruition of like really bringing in tech into cars throughout those years.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I guess, like, I know what, like, you mean.
More smart tech.
Yeah.
I guess you could say. And that, sure, was when auto manufacturers were building their own UIs for like the base system for.
Makes sense. I understand
for
what you
all
mean.
All the infotainment.
Right. Like, right? You were on the Ford Blue system.
Exactly.
I understand.
And
what
they all,
sure,
sucked.
Right.
Right. Like, I think everyone can agree they all suck. So that's, yep, why when Apple CarPlay came out, everyone was like, well, this is the best.
Because it's an iPhone.
Right, it's an iPhone. Well, but the base of the car was still the Ford Blue or,
right,
something like that.
Right.
So recently, I just saw that Mini Cooper is all their new base UI system is all designed by Samsung. So it's almost like it's like Android.
Got it.
And that's like where the base is. So now it almost seems like people have given up, or the manufacturers are going to start giving up on trying to design their own UI.
They should.
Yeah, they should. So, but that means that all the base UI for all cars moving forward are going to be designed by Apple, Samsung, Sony, Amazon.
Don't you think they should?
It's almost like you need a Google account to have a car then.
Well,
you know,
that's fair. But what I mean is there is no doubt that your phone is the remote control of your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So if that is the case, then whatever platform your phone is linked to, whatever subscriptions you have, whatever services you have, they should be able to link up.
Yeah, I just thought of something ridiculous. Imagine, like, you get your new car and you sit in it and you go to start in before you can take off and put your foot on the brake pedal or take it out of park or put it in drive or first gear or whatever, and it's just like sign into your Google account.
I hear you.
And you're just like, come on, man. Like, terms and conditions. And
you're definitely going to want to start turning on your two-factor authentication. Right,
you need that for your car, or your car's subjected to getting right. locked out.
You have to wait for a text message to put in a one-time goose right, code so right. you can start the car.
Yeah. And then you gotta pass reCAPTCHA.
I'm not a robot.
Right, I'm not a robot.
I'm not a robot. I could drive this car. I'm not a robot. So, yeah, I mean, look, so... I think that there's a level to this. I personally feel
mm-hmm.
that the phones that we carry are going to become the thing that will bridge the gap of almost everything in our life.
Yeah.
I personally think that the value of a phone, which we call a phone, but it's not really a phone anymore, it's gonna increase extramentally. You know, extramentally is not a word. But
hey, well, you shouldn't have said it because I would have rolled right past it and not noticed.
It's going to increase, you know,
now everyone
exponentially.
Knows. There you go.
And as it does, I think, you know, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, your phone allows you to log into a certain account, which is then linked to the car, right? So mm-hmm. then let's say I'm logged into my wife's car and to... No, I know, but like, just hear me out.
Hurts your head.
You're logged into my wife's car and my car, yep. right? And when I have my phone in my pocket, I'm able to, you know, just unlock the car, yep. get into the car, you know, use Face ID to unlock my phone, use Face ID to unlock my car.
Yeah.
And then I'm off.
Right.
Right? Like, I foresee that as... And then all your settings and everything like that, which are memorized on your phone for the car.
Correct.
Your seat adjustments,
yep.
your heat adjustments, everything you want to do. Your radio station pops up with Pandora, if that's what you use. Like, your GPS goes up. All your settings... Everything is going to basically just... Hey, because it knows that that's your phone and you're holding your phone and boom.
If we're that far into technology and people are still using Pandora, that just doesn't add up.
Why? Pandora's good.
You think so?
I like Pandora.
I don't know.
You're a Spotify guy, aren't you?
I am.
I can feel it. It's yeah. like you either one or the other. I like Pandora. I mean, I listen to Pandora a lot.
Okay, fair enough. Try Spotify.
Yeah, get my J. Cole radio going.
There you go. I don't have to be an advocate for it. It's all good.
I understand. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think that, you know, the new buying habits are going to become more predominant. I think it's interesting that Hyundai's making the push there, but I don't think it's unexpected.
Yeah.
I believe that you're going to have a model where dealerships are going to go away. Now, let me tell you the caveats I see for how quickly or how hard that goes.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that right now. It's kind of like a 1 foot out the door type of thing where it's like you're still gonna have to go to the dealership, but like you can buy it online. I don't like
well
that.
I think the transition is more to do with things like unions,
right?
Like you just saw the auto workers strike.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm not weighing in plus or minus for that. I'm factually what I'm saying is, like, in those contracts that the, you know, UAW had, from what I understand, again, I could be wrong, but from what I understand, there were clauses in there that made it agree that these car manufacturers won't do things like implement AI technology into building these cars,
mm-hmm.
right? So they won't be able to use AI technology to help, let's say, program robots that use, you know, move wheels around or anything, because they want the human to be able to do it, right? Yep. They don't want, you know, certain features that allow them to replace human effort with robotic technology. Now, arguably, we know that a lot of these things can be done. And theoretically, by doing it in that way, could potentially bring the cost of cars down.
Yep.
Right?
I think that's going to be the result.
Well, no, I don't think it's going to be the result, because I think the UAW is in a position where they were able to get everything linked back up. They got massive pay increases. Again, I'm not talking about whether they deserve it or not. It's not where we're mm-hmm. not debating anything. I'm just talking factually. They got fairly sizable increases. They were trying to get pension reinstatements. And when you tie that in for, let's say, you know, 10, 15 years or whatever the length of their contract is, you have to think, well, that's a model that they can't undo for all those years. If mm-hmm. they can't put the robotic technology, and they're not going to be pushing for it less next time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think where that's going to hurt is what I think. And I just my opinion. I think that you're going to start to see companies that are startups that the size of the scope that right now has them the inability from keeping up with the Fords and the GMs and some of the whatever. you're going to see that flip in a way, because now the freedom that they have to not necessarily have, they can go start a car company from, you know, as they go through and they're implementing robot technology right from the beginning. It may be one of those things that allows those cars to catch up, bless you, with a cheaper price, because Ford, GM, and, you know, Stellantis, whatever it is, they can't change the price enough. Interesting stuff, though.
Yeah.
Just when you think, like, where everything is going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. Should we get Chipotle now?
If you want, I'm down.
I'm just super hungry.
We got ChatGPT going, checking out what...
I can't. We can't do that now. We're not allowed to use ChatGPT. We signed a contract. It says that Max will not be allowed to use AI to do...
My goodness. Did you see the story about the guy who used ChatGPT and said, hey, give me a 30-day plan or schedule so I can quit my 9-to-5 job? And he followed the thing and it worked for him.
What? I got some ChatGPT-ing to do.
He literally said, here, give me a 30-day plan so I can quit my job and continuously be okay or whatever. And I don't know what he... I can't remember what it is, but unbelievable.
I just thought, like, I could type in, like, make me a Chipotle bowl, but make it so that it's the most filling, but with the least amount of calories. And see what it has to say. That would be so good. I think I'm going to go try that.
Let's go wrap it up then.
All right. Let's go. Oh, wait, hold on. What's the best Chipotle? No, that's not what I said, Max. I didn't say anything about what the best Chipotle bowl is. What I said was find the bowl that's the most filling with the least amount of calories.
This thing talks like me. Lettuce for additional freshness and crunch.
You talk like that?
I would probably describe lettuce like that.
Well, let's see. Find the Chipotle bowl with the most filling but the least amount of calories. Creating a Chipotle bowl with fewer calories. Hold on, it's going too fast, Max. With fewer calories can be achieved by making specific ingredient choices. Here's the help. Base. Choose lettuce for your base instead of rice. That's what I do. Lettuce provides... All right. Two. Opt for grilled chicken or sofritas, which is tofu. So that won't be happening. We'll go with the chicken. Beans. Include black beans. They provide fiber and protein without too many calories. I may differ there. See, add veggie fajitas. I do that all the time. They're flavorful. I agree. And they add volume without substantially increasing calories. I agree with this. Opt for the fresh salsa. Low in its calories with a burst of flavor. Consider skipping or using minimal amounts of cheese and sour cream. Well, there's where I falter.
Me too.
I love sour cream.
I love cheese and sour cream.
Oh, man. You put them both together?
Yeah.
It's the cheesy sour cream you love.
Yeah, that's some good stuff.
I'm with you. So, all right. Well, we conquered. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back here. We'll catch you on the next one.
Get some lunch.
Yeah. Chipotle.